We're going to start in Isaiah 55, and then we'll be going to 1 Samuel chapter 13. But I love the scripture reading today. It goes along so well with the message, especially towards the end of the message. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness, such as sit in darkness in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron. They cried unto the Lord in their trouble. If I go on down to verse 13, then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and break their bands in sunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness. Hope today we praise him for his goodness. Seeking God is rewarding. As I said, we'll start in Isaiah 55, then we'll go to 1 Samuel 13. Before we read Isaiah 55, I want to say a couple of things. While it is true that God's thoughts are not our thoughts and our ways aren't his ways, God still wants us to reach for him and to copy his ways and his ways of thinking. I think when you read Isaiah 55 carefully, you'll see that what he's saying is the ways of the wicked man are not his ways, and the thoughts of the wicked man are not his thoughts. Let's read it. Isaiah 55. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. This is an invitation. This is a calling out. Seek me. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and a commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Look at that way and thoughts there. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I send it. For ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and there shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. While it is true that he is way far above us, he still wants us to seek him and come to him and to learn his thoughts and to learn his ways, to seek to be conformed to the image of Christ. So for today, I'm going to back up to chapter 13 of 1 Samuel. We're going to consider some things here. We're going to consider the fact that David was a man after God's own heart. Now, because it's such a well-known and usually preached upon a lot passage, I didn't devote even though I mentioned it at times, I didn't devote a message specifically to that. That David was a man after God's own heart. I've been meditating on what it means to be a man after God's own heart, and I want to share what the Word says concerning it. 1 Samuel 13. 1 Samuel 13. And Samuel said to Saul, "Thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart. And the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee." And when Paul set about on his first missionary journey, he came to Antioch of Pisidia and spoke of this very thing about David in Acts chapter 13. You go over to Acts chapter 13. Acts 13, verse 16 through 23. This very truth, this important truth, to be someone that is after God's own heart, the motives, the reasons. Acts 13, 16 through 23 says, "Then Paul stood up and beckoning with his hand said, Men of Israel and you that fear God, give audience. The God of this people of Israel chose our fathers and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt. And with an high arm brought he them out of it. And about the time of 40 years suffered he their manners in the wilderness. And when he had destroyed seven nations in the land of Canaan, he divided their land to them by lot. And after he gave unto them judges about the space of 450 years until Samuel the prophet. And afterward they desired a king. And God gave unto them Saul, the son of Cis, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, by the space of 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave their testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus." David was a man who, by faith, sought God. He sought after God's own heart. He was a man after God's own heart. He sought him. And he was richly blessed for it. God wants us to reach for him. The essence of faith is believing that there is a benefit to reaching for God, to seeking God. There's a benefit for seeking God. Do you believe there's a benefit for seeking God? First, let's explore a little more about what faith is. First off, the reason so many people don't seek after God is because they don't believe there is any benefit to seeking him. In Romans 3, Paul quotes from Psalm 14 or Psalm 53. It says this concerning men: "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one." There's none that seeks him. Now, there may be times when lost man gets in a jam and he's like, "Oh God, I'll do good tomorrow if I need." They're not seeking him. The only reason any of us seek after God is because we are drawn by God. Man does not believe there is any benefit to seeking God. There is none that seeketh after God. What God does is he opens the spiritual eyes and ears that we might see and hear the benefits found in him, and we do seek after him. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. When we are dead in trespasses and sins, we are fully convinced that the treasures in Egypt are better than the rewards for seeking God. It's like we are trapped in a dark room with the windows boarded up and the door locked from within, unable to see the sunrise, convinced that we are in the best and most rewarding place. But God comes. If God had not opened the window so that we might see the light and showed us the door to freedom, we would have been forever convinced that we were in the best place. Well, not forever. The darkness of sin is a little taste of hell with no promise of something better. And the darkness to come is much, much worse. Faith is like the window of that room. God removes those boards and shows us the beauty outside of our dark place through the window of faith. And then we walk through the door to the heart of God. We seek God by going through the door because the window of faith has been opened for the light to flood in. He draws us. To a wonderful life, a rewarding life, a blessed life. First Corinthians 2:7-10 says, "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God." God revealed those things to us. Faith is when we can see the rewards. You know, this is a little bit complicated here, but I kept rewording it, try to get it clearer, but I don't know that I succeeded. But it is true that walking by sight isn't faith. But that means to walk by physical sight. Faith is actually all about walking by sight. It's walking by spiritual sight. What God has revealed to us through faith. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Not seen with physical eyes. But what good is evidence if you can't see it? You can see it with spiritual eyes. Evidence of things not seen with physical eyes, but evidence to the spiritual, to the heart. Faith is walking by spiritual sight. I know. It's like I've said over and over again, that time when the Lord saved me, I just had to come to that point where I had to say to him, Lord, I don't know why I believe, but I believe. I was basically telling him I didn't know how the Spirit moved. I should have told him, Lord, I don't know how the Spirit moves. It's like the wind. Well, it's moved in your heart. Faith is God showing us the evidence through the heart work of faith. Faith is when God opens that window and we are fully convinced of the rewards for diligently seeking him, because we've seen God in his well-lit world, and we recognize the prison of sin that we've been in. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That you must believe that he's a reward, that there's benefits to seeking him. So the lost world sees no benefit in seeking God. But by faith, we see a benefit. Must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So first off, faith tells us there is a reward for obedience. Notice back in 1 Samuel 13 how Saul didn't believe there was a great benefit for obedience. 1 Samuel 13 and 14 says, "And Samuel said to Saul, Thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee." He always had a better way, it seems. It's like, well, the priest didn't get in here. I'm going to go ahead and just do the prayer service myself. Or he says, well, now he told us to wipe out every living thing and to burn it all, but, you know, I've got a better way. I think we should just keep a few of those things because, after all, we could offer them for sacrifices or something like that. He sees more benefit in following his own way than he sees in the benefit of following what God commands. He did not have faith that there was any reward for seeking out God's way. And God told him, if you had obeyed, there would have been a great reward. And when Paul mentions David's heart, in the other text we read in Acts 13, he says this in verse 22. And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave their testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine heart, own heart. And then what? Which shall fulfill all my will. Of this man's seed hath God, according to the promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. Unlike Saul, David believes through faith there is a great benefit for obeying all of God's will. Simple man doesn't see a benefit to obeying God. And you know what? This started in the garden when Satan convinced Eve and Adam that there was a great reward for disobedience. If you disobey, he just doesn't want you to have some good stuff. And he convinced them there was more reward, more benefit for disobedience. You know, I've had people say to me that if they believed in once saved, always saved, that they would live like the devil. You know, really what is being stated there, they are stating clearly that they don't see any benefit to them for obeying God's commands. Says the only benefit they can see is not going to hell. They don't see any other benefits to obeying God. They say, well, you know, he tells me not to steal. He tells me not to commit adultery. He tells me all these things. But I think there's greater benefits in disobedience. See it. So when someone says to me, well, if I believed in that, then I would live like the devil, they're saying, I don't see any benefit in the commands of God. There's no reward, there's no blessing, it's not a good thing. My way's better. The one with faith believes that there is great benefit to God's commands, and so he fights the flesh. The believer not only loves heaven, but loves the one who inhabits heaven. Even though David's flesh hated God's ways, David's spirit loved God and believed that God was a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So David was a man after God's own heart. I'm doubtful of the person that says they would live like the devil if they could. They don't have the Holy Spirit that's also in their soul, desiring God, seeing the light. And they've understood the one who's been regenerated understands that God's commandments are an expression of love. John 14:21 says, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him." 1 John 2:3 says, "And hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments." 1 John 5:3, "For there this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous." They're like, well, if I believe that, because I believe all of his commandments are grievous, I would live like the devil. I mean, what kind of an attitude is that? Yeah, we have the flesh that still has that attitude. But if we have his spirit within us, we've seen the light. We've been regenerated. We know and are fully convinced that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You know, the sinner believes God's commands are grievous. He considers two choices and makes a wrong logical conclusion as to which one has the most benefit. We have numerous examples of when God told someone to do something and they decided there was more reward for disobedience. I won't mention a whole lot of those. You know, and the other thing is that for some, even if they are told of the rewards of faith, they don't want those kinds of rewards. We can tell people that obedience brings peace, but we are assuming they want peace, right? The Bible says that some people are contentious fighters. The Bible says that the man of God must not strive. And certainly lost man does not want peace with God. Not peace with God. When we tell people that through Christ a person can have peace with God, we must realize that it isn't a big incentive for many. Until God changes their desires to hate God, peace is not really what they want. Not truly. They want the peace by just leave me alone, let me do my own thing. But not the kind of peace that God gives. For us, it's a great blessing to be at peace with God because we love him and are seeking him. God tells those who seek him that he will never leave us nor forsake us. Lost man is hiding from God. Why would God's presence be a big incentive for him? God not only places faith in our hearts, but he works in a mysterious way to love him. His love is what we want to experience. The psalmist says that God himself is his portion. God is my portion. God is my portion and strength of my heart. Now that isn't an attraction for those dead in sin. For us, God himself is our reward. If we tell the unregenerate person that they have maybe have less on this earth, but God will be their portion, they're probably thinking, is that a good deal? I'd rather have more now. I'm afraid that some of those who say they're living their best life now truly are. To see Christ face to face is not a valuable thing to them. And it's all the world to us. Because it's a reward to be with those we love. Paul says in 2 Timothy 4 that there are rewards laid up for him and for those who love God's appearing. He says the crown of righteousness laid up for those who love God's appearing. When Adam and Eve had sinned, were they loving God's appearing? Sin causes us to not like his appearing. But for those of us who are born again, his appearing is a big reward and incentive. Just him. Because we love him. For us, we delight in the promise of everlasting worship. The unbeliever sees more reward in worshiping himself or even worshiping idols. When we think of the city with one king, we love it. We long for it. Those who don't believe don't see any reward for seeking God because they don't see the reward. But they also don't value what the reward would be that God is our portion. I'll go back quickly to the point I made at the first and finish with it. The point is that one doesn't have to see with physical eyes to see and believe the truth that there is a great benefit to following God. David believed God was with him before he slew the lion and the bear. Otherwise, he would have never fought them. So even though we might say that David had evidence of God's power before he took on Goliath, what about before he took on the lion and the bear? We must act on the faith that God gives us, even when we can't see what's over the hill. God gives us several examples of this in Hebrews 11. There's going to be, you know, God explains to us many times why he gives. And gives the sorrows that come from disobedience, and he gives us some wise and things, but sometimes he doesn't. Sometimes the same words we may have heard from our parents need to echo in our ears. Because I said so. And we believe he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. God gives us some examples in Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, 7 says, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, warned of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, etc. The person without faith doesn't believe what God says about the positive rewards of seeking him. But the unbeliever also doesn't believe God about the wages of sin. The man in the dark room of unbelief does not believe that the darkness is deadly. There is a wage that is paid for sin. If you would, there's a reward for unrighteousness. Judas died for the reward of iniquity. The wages of sin. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The believer not only knows that the room is dark, but through faith knows the promises of God are sure. We know. We know. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed and went out, not knowing whither he went. Hebrews 11:11, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Faith. If God has opened the window of faith, maybe you don't know him. Maybe you don't truly know him. What if God's opened the door, the window of faith? He's opened the window of faith God has shown you the grace. You need to know that Jesus is the door. Remember that the lock is on the inside of your dark room. Now God has opened your heart to know the truth and flooded your room with light to see that lock. The lock is your sin and hatred of God. Repent. Turn to God. God has opened the window. Jesus is the door. Come to Him. Join us who know Him. Join us on the journey to the city whose builder and maker is God. He has prepared a place for us. We believe it. We know it. And this is His grace to know it. For each of us that has faith, it's only because He opened the window and flooded our world with light. And in a sense, it really isn't us that opens the lock, because He grants repentance as well. It's Him. Ephesians 2:4-10 says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. And hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Come to Him. Be one that is after God's own heart, knowing by faith in full assurance that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him.